You're probably right about that, Wave Thunder conceded. No, you are right about that. All the same, I really don't like having the court in Chiraeth this way, he grimaced. I'm sure Green Mountain and Queen Mother Alana felt pretty much the same way when the court was here in Telisburg, and I know it's something we're all going to have to get used to, but that doesn't mean I enjoy it. No, it doesn't, Stainer agreed. In fact, sheer distance and how long it takes for messages to cross between its various parts, openly at least, is the Empire's biggest weakness, and we all know it. I'm pretty sure the group of four does too, and I imagine anyone as smart as Trenaire and Clinton is going to do his best to take advantage of it. Of course, Stainer showed his teeth in a most un-archbishop-like smile. They don't know quite everything, do they? We may be sitting here fretting about how to steer Regis, but they don't have a clue of the fact that you or I can discuss a situation face-to-face with Caleb and Charlion any time we have to. Which only makes it more frustrating when we can't talk to someone else any time we have to, Wave Thunder growled, and the Archbishop chuckled. The writ says patience is one of the godly virtues, he pointed out. Interestingly enough, so do all of the other religions Owl and I have been reading about. So you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from me just because it's a virtue which you notably lack, Benjamin. I hope you still find it humorous when you're sitting on a becalmed galleon in the middle of the Chisholm Sea, Wave Thunder replied, dark eyes gleaming. Patience, I mean. Somehow I suspect being becalmed in the Chisholm Sea is going to be one of the least of my problems in the middle of the winter, Stainer said wryly. I've been advised to pack a lot of golden berry tea for some reason. The gleam in Wave Thunder's eyes turned into a snort of amusement. Golden berry tea, brewed from the leaves of the goldenberry tree, which grew to a height of about 10 feet and thrived in almost any climate, was the standard Safeholdian treatment for motion sickness. You may find the thought amusing, Stainer said severely, but I rather doubt I'm going to feel the same way when we're looking at waves as high as a cathedral spire. Probably not, Wave Thunder acknowledged with a grin. He leaned back in his own chair and sipped more brandy for several moments, then looked back across at Stainer. And Norman, he asked, have you pressed Father Jean about that recently? Not really, Stainer confessed. I'm still in two minds myself, if the truth be told. I understand how valuable Norman could be, but I don't really have a good enough feel for him yet, as a man and not just a prince, to feel comfortable predicting how he'd react to the complete truth. He's handled the Merlin Has Visions version of the truth well enough, Wave Thunder pointed out. So has Regis, Stainer countered. Oh, don't get me wrong, Benjamin. If there's anyone who's mentally flexible enough, let's say, to accept the truth, it's got to be Norman. And I'm very much inclined to believe Merlin, and Caleb, for that matter, are correct about where he's placed his fundamental loyalties now. Maybe the problem's just that Emerald was the enemy for so long. I mean, it's possible I'm carrying around some kind of automatic prejudice towards all things Emeraldian, including the Prince of Emerald myself. I don't think I am, but that doesn't mean I'm not. I'm just uncomfortable in my own mind about how stable his loyalties are. That's not the right word. The Archbishop waved one hand, his expression that of a man unaccustomed to being unable to express himself with precision. I guess what it comes down to is that I haven't really been able to spend enough time with him to feel I truly know him.
Well, that's fair enough, Wave Thunder conceded.
Prince Norman had spent no more than a month and a half in Telisburg before departing for the Coruscant campaign with Emperor Caleb.
He'd returned to Old Karras 2 months ago, but he'd stayed in Telesburg for less than 2 5-days before departing for Emerald. No reasonable person could have complained about his priorities, given the fact that he'd seen neither his wife nor his children in the better part of a year. But it did mean that Stainer, and Wave Thunder for that matter, had enjoyed precious little opportunity to truly get to know him.
"Maybe you'll have the opportunity to get better acquainted during your pastoral visit," the Baron pointed out, and Stainer nodded. "I plan to make a point of it," he said. "For that matter, I think it's entirely possible he may end up sailing back to Chisholm with me as well. And as you so tactfully pointed out a few moments ago," the Archbishop grimaced, "that ought to give me plenty of time to get acquainted." "I understand ocean cruises are supposed to be an excellent opportunity to make lifelong friendships," Wave Thunder observed.
And Stainer snorted. Then the Archbishop's expression turned a bit more thoughtful. "Actually," he said in the tone a man used to admit something he found at least mildly surprising, "I think a genuine friendship with Narmon is definitely a possibility."
He shook his head with a bemused air.
"Who would have thought that a year or two ago?"
"Not me, that's for sure."
Wave Thunder shook his own head rather more forcefully, then glanced at the clock.
"Well,"
he set his brandy snifter back down,
"I suppose I ought to be getting back home. I'd like to say Leon is going to be wondering where I am. Unfortunately, the truth is that she already knows where I am, and she's probably got a pretty fair idea of what the two of us have been up to."
He grimaced. "I don't doubt that she's going to give my breath the sniff test as soon as I come in the door."